I think there's one thing that's true for most of us here today, at least we'd say it about ourselves, I would imagine, that we are well-intentioned people. We have good intentions, we mean well, we want to do the right things, make the changes that are needed to become the persons we want to be. Now, I've discovered over the years, at least for myself, that this is oftentimes it's my good intentions that end up serving as a substitute for my actually becoming intentional. In other words, because I have good intentions and I mean well and I know eventually I'm going to get around to it, that I let myself off the hook in actually doing something about it. I feel good enough about it, my intentions, that I don't often take the steps to back them up. There's a psychological term for this type of action. It's called the intention-action gap. The intention-action gap. We have the intention of all kinds of things we experience in one form or another, and I think we've all seen it. It's part of the human experience. For example, most of us can relate to the intention-action gap when it comes to how we deal with our money, right? We want to be generous. That's our intention. We want to intend to saving and having a plan for looking ahead, and we have the intention of not going into debt, but there's this gap between our intentions and the way things actually play out. Same thing when it comes to diet and exercise, right? I mean, we have the intention of getting into shape, shedding a few of those extra pounds. We might even have gone out to the store and bought the clothes that are going to work when that happens, and they're still hanging in our closet. And the intentions are good, but we don't follow through on what we planned. I was listening to the radio this last week on my way to work, and there was an interesting segment talking about Netflix and how they've changed their strategy over the years and how they put things out there. What they used to do is they used to ask people what they wanted to watch. And then they would build their page for this, each of the different individuals, around what they actually wanted. Well, they stopped doing that. What they found was that when it came to what people actually watched, they might have said, I want to watch National Geographic, I want to watch a documentary, I want to watch some history segment. What they actually went back and did, they'd fall back on some, when they sat down, they'd fall back on some Adam Sandler movie from years ago, or they'd end up watching Napoleon Dynamite, which isn't quite the same as a documentary on Napoleon. Now, it wasn't when the people were asked that they were trying to be deceptive. It wasn't that they were being dishonest. They had every intention of watching those shows, but that's not what actually ended up happening. And so there's this intention-action gap. And it's a space where many of us end up living a good amount of our lives, having good intentions that we don't do much about. On this Father's Day weekend, I'm especially reminded of how easily that can happen to us as dads. Now, in my case, my kids are all grown and things have changed and it's all turned out well. I wouldn't change a thing. At the same time, having said that, there's no doubt that there are things looking back that I had hoped and intended and even planned to do that never happened. Some of them didn't matter, and it wouldn't have mattered. I mean, some of them never happened, and I wish looking back that they had. Those longer hours at work that I wish I had spent more of them at home. And those times when I was at home, but I got caught up in one of the little projects around the house, and didn't spend enough time watching those little projects growing up around me. I think I'm even more aware of it this year as it's my first year as a grandfather, right? This Father's Day, the years go by quickly. I mean, they go by so fast, and especially looking back, and as good as our intentions might have been, if there's no follow-through, then it doesn't matter what was intended. Now, I doubt if I'm alone in this. Right, we all have good intentions about the spiritual example we want to set, the time we know we should spend with God or with our spouse in prayer or kids or whatever it is, but we're not as good in following through on what we know. I mean, even if we're not married and have a family, there are gaps for all of us in our spiritual lives, and where the intentions are good, but there's not much intentionality. Today we're in 2 Kings. was our first reading for today. If you have your Bibles, want to follow along, a Bible app, we're going to have some words up on the screen as well. We're in 2 Kings chapter 22. And for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at one of the Old Testament kings by the name of Josiah. Now, there's a long list of kings in the Bible, and we have differing amounts of detail about each one. Josiah is most often remembered as being the youngest of all the kings. He became king when he was only 8 years old. But there's something else about Josiah that makes him stand out beyond his age, and that is the path that he chose. He followed God in his life. He followed God on purpose. It wasn't accidental living, it was intentional living. There are a couple of verses I want us to notice up front as that sort of bookend Josiah's life as a king. The first from chapter 22, verse 2. It says, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. Now, David wasn't his actual father. We're going to talk about his actual father in a moment. David was one of his ancestors, so in that way he was his father, all right? It says, he walked in all the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or the left. In other words, he stayed on task and on course and was intentional in following God. The other verse that bookends his life is in chapter 23, verse 25. It says, neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses. Now, as we look at Josiah's life, and this is how we need to approach all of Scripture, right, when we study whatever it is, when we look at Josiah's life, what it does is it gives us an opportunity to look at our own lives. I mean, the pictures and the stories that we find in the Bible give us a picture story of ourselves. As we look at Josiah's life today, I want you to be thinking about your own life and where there's this intention-action gap that needs to be addressed. There's something in your life that you know needs to change, but you've never done it. There's something you've been intending to do, but you haven't moved on it. It's on your radar. You want it to happen. You know it needs to happen, but it hasn't happened. I want you to be thinking about wherever it is that you find this gap in your life. Now, there are a lot of things that could keep us from doing what we intend to do. A lot of things. We could spend all day on that. One of them is as simple as the patterns we've learned and seen and that over time have become our own and are hard to break. I mean, you know how that works, right? The longer you do something or see something a certain way, the harder it is to change. And if you've seen something or learned something or lived with something that's not good, it's even harder. It wasn't my experience growing up. I was blessed with two good parenting examples to follow. But that's not everyone's experience. Some of you have grown up, I know, with parents who weren't such good examples. And so in trying to set a good example of yourself, you're doing it in your life for the first time. You want to be intentional. You want to do the right thing, but you never saw it, so you're not even sure what the right thing might end up being. The course wasn't set for you, so you're trying to set your own course. You know the responsibility you have. You want to be intentional, but it's not clear which direction to take. The only example you were given growing up is not the one you want. This was true for Josiah. Take a look at Josiah's background for just a moment. It's interesting. We're in chapters 22 and 23. Take a look at chapter 21. Here's where we find out about Josiah's father and grandfather. Chapter 21, verse 2. This is about his grandfather, Manasseh. It says about his grandfather, he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 6 says, he sacrificed his own son in the fire, practiced sorcery and divination, consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger. And so King Manasseh does much evil during his reign. And it's during this time when God promises much destruction on the nation of Israel as a result. Because of Manasseh and his evil decisions, there will be some not so good things that will follow because of Manasseh. It gets even worse. verse 16, it says, "Moreover, Manasseh also shed so much innocent blood that he filled Jerusalem from end to end, besides the sin that he caused Judah to commit, so that they did evil in the eyes of the Lord." This is the leadership example given to Josiah by his grandfather Manasseh. Then it's Josiah's father, Amon, who takes over after Manasseh is gone. He's 22 when he begins his reign. It turns out his father was a lot like his grandfather. Verse 20, it says, "He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. He walked in all the ways of his father. He worshipped the idols his father had worshipped, bowed down to them. He forsook the Lord, the God of his fathers, and did not walk in the way of the Lord." Both his father and his grandfather took the same path. His father reigned only for 2 years, and then he was assassinated in the palace by some of the palace officials. Sort of a sad story. What I want us to see is that these were the leadership examples Josiah was given. His grandfather followed in a way that was not good, and his father followed in the way of his grandfather, same footsteps. If we're not careful and intentional, the pattern, the default pattern we'll have more often than not will be the example we were given when we were growing up, and that tends to be the case for most of us. Now, again, we can apply this on this Father's Day to those of us who are fathers. It comes in a variety of ways, but it's not only that. In terms of fathers, maybe it was an aggression your father had, that he'd get angry too often and too quickly, all right? And you told yourself, "That'll never be me." And then it happens, and you wonder, where did that come from? That's where it comes from, came from. Maybe it was in the form of passivity. Your father was there, but he was never really there. In watching TV or doing his own thing, but never really and fully engaged. Next thing you know, you're doing the same thing with your own kids, and you told yourself that that would never happen. And it did. It's not that you're intentionally choosing that as much as you're defaulting to what you learned growing up. That was true for Josiah. He had these examples, but he's going to intentionally choose in his life a different path, choose a different direction. And again, fathers or not, you can apply this same principle in any area of life. The legacy that was handed to him was one that was evil in the eyes of the Lord. But he intentionally chooses to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. That didn't happen by accident. He didn't stumble onto this doing what's right in the eyes of the Lord thing. It was intentional. You know, it's interesting in the Bible what you find when you start digging a little deeper. I started wondering what might have caused Josiah to choose a different path. The easy answer would be to say that he read the scriptures. And once he read the scriptures, he turned his ways and he followed the Lord. Well, the trouble with that theory, and we'll look more closely at that next week, is that the scriptures during this time had been lost. They were hidden or buried in the palace, and over time had been forgotten. It wasn't the scriptures that caused him to seek the Lord. It was most likely what he saw in the lives of those who'd gone before him, his father and his grandfather, and he asked the question, how did that work out for them? I mean, what happened to them in that path they followed, and is this the path I want to follow in my life, so I'm going to end up in my life where they ended up in theirs? If the default is that we do the things we've learned growing up, then the natural follow-up question is to ask, what happened and what will happen if I do the same things? That's probably what happened to Josiah. He had this moment where he started wondering if he was on the right path. This is what the Bible calls the law of sowing and reaping. It was our second lesson today. If you sow a certain kind of seed, that's what you're going to reap. Right? You sow corn, you plant corn, you're going to end up with corn. You put wheat in the ground, and don't be surprised when wheat starts to grow. The same is true in life. Evil leads to evil. Hardened hearts tend to turn people away. In the opposite way, kindness leads to more kindness. Loving others, and don't be surprised if there's more love coming back your way. I think Josiah must have had that kind of moment in life when he looked at the legacy he had been given. Is this what I want for my life? If it led there for them, is that what I want to happen for me? There must have been a moment when he realized that if things were going to change, he was going to have to be intentional. The other thing I think might have happened, and we don't know for sure because the Bible doesn't tell us, what it does tell us is that there was another example in Josiah's life that went beyond his father and his grandfather. Now, Josiah was 8 when he became king, and there's no way an 8-year-old can rule a kingdom and know what to do, right? So there must have been some kind of education given to Josiah during those early years where he learned about what it meant to be a king and so on. And part of that must have been looking at the lives of the previous kings. His father was killed when he was 8 years old. I'm sure he learned in that education what kind of man his father was and what led to his death, lasting only 2 years. Before that was his grandfather, whose reign lasted for 55 years, his grandfather Manasseh, and he must have learned more than he wanted about his grandfather. But before his grandfather was his great-grandfather, Hezekiah. The Bible says that Hezekiah was a man of God. It says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. It didn't work out for Josiah to follow his father or grandfather, but it turns out that his great-grandfather had actually left him a legacy. He never knew his great-grandfather, but his great-grandfather Hezekiah knew the Lord. If you study Josiah's life, it seems like it follows pretty closely Hezekiah's life. It's interesting as you parallel those two. Hezekiah rebuilt the temple. Josiah in his life will rebuild the temple. Hezekiah cleared out all the idols. Josiah is going to clear out all of the idols. His great-grandfather was known as a man of prayer. Josiah will become known as a man of prayer. You start looking at the parallels and what happened, and it's hard to conclude anything but that it was intentional. He seems to be following the path of his great-grandfather. His great-grandfather was the example he intentionally followed. Now, we're talking today about fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers, but this same lesson is true for all of us. I mean, it doesn't matter if the example in your life was a father or a mother or if the example was a good one or not. What matters is what example in your life are you going to follow? And if it's not the default example you were given, then you need to be intentional in finding another one. Maybe it was an uncle or a cousin who was faithful. Maybe it was a teacher or a coach who knew the Lord and lived a life. Maybe it's one of your neighbors or your coworkers or someone at school. Maybe it's someone right here in this church. Doesn't matter. You look at their life and the fields that they've planted, and you say, that's what I want for my life and in my fields. It's not going to happen by accident. Good intentions are not enough. It needs to become intentional in your life if your life is going to produce the kind of crops that you want. The other thing I want to mention in this first week of the series before closing is there's one other possibility in Josiah's life that might have played a part in leading him to the Lord. Again, we don't know for sure. The Bible doesn't say, but it's an interesting note. As we've said, Josiah's father was not a good example. And his grandfather was even worse. But before his grandfather died, in 2 Chronicles, you read that story, it tells the story of what seems to be a deathbed conversion for Manasseh. Before he dies, it says he humbled himself before the Lord. He repented of the evil he had done, and he went back to the nation of Israel and told them to worship and follow the one true God. Those were some of his last words. Now, there's no way to know for sure if that had an impact on what happened to Josiah. But I do know that it is never too late to turn to the Lord, to ask for his forgiveness in what's happened in the past, and to come clean before your family and those you love with the things you had never done. If that in any way rings a bell in your life, then maybe it's time to ring that bell in your life and make it happen. Nothing happens if it's not intentional. Good intentions don't get it done. If it's not your default, then don't expect things to just change on their own. I love what it says about Josiah. It says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or the left. He didn't turn to the right or the left, but he led intentionally. He stayed focused on what was right. I've learned that same lesson many times over the years. As a pastor, as a father, as a leader, as a follower of Jesus, I'll never be able to lead anyone to anywhere or anything that I'm not already going toward or doing in my life. And I'm only fooling myself in thinking that if it didn't work out for someone else in their life, not following the words of the Lord, that in my life I'm going to be the exception. None of us can go back and relive the times we missed. And there's nothing we can do to erase those times when our good intentions won out over actually being intentional. But God can erase those times. And he did, and he has, and he will cover those mistakes. And he's calling each of us right here and now to be more intentional in following him and in doing and living the things that count. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the examples we have in the Bible of those who made poor choices from which we can learn, as well as for those who chose in their lives to follow you and whose example is one we can choose to follow. We pray that you would help us to move beyond simply having good intentions, to become more intentional in the things in our lives we know we need to change. Assure us that we are loved. Remind us that we are eternally forgiven in Christ. And lead us to a point where we want nothing more than to live according to your will, made clear for us in Jesus, in whose name we pray.